So if you have your Bible with you this morning, we do have enough of our technology working, I think, to still put it on the screen. But if you have your Bible this morning, you can go ahead and find your spot in Galatians chapter 5. But if you were here last week, you'll know that we spent our time reviewing Psalm 19. And in doing so, we were reminded of some basic beliefs that are associated with being a true Christian. First and foremost, one of our basic beliefs, if we're going to claim to be a Christian, is we have to believe that God is real, okay, and that He is the creator of all things, including, guess what, us, mankind. Now, every genuine believer must also confess that God is the only true God, and as part of this confession, according to His instruction and His word, guess what? We must strive to always put Him first above all other things in life. If you were here last week, we also learned how God is continually revealing Himself to us through creation. We talked about that, right? Through His powerful word, which includes the gospel message about Jesus Christ, and through the Holy Spirit, which permanently resides with every believer. Now, King David, I think he did a wonderful job in Psalm 19 of pointing out just how impressive God truly is. Now, this morning, we're going to build upon these basic and paramount beliefs and look at what it means to live free because of Jesus. Now, in a couple of days, guess what we're going to do? We're going to celebrate July the 4th. That's a big day for America. It's the day set aside to acknowledge and celebrate the country's freedom. If you go all the way back and study your history, from British rule. Now, as I was thinking about this celebration, with all the cookouts, the dedicated events, the fireworks, the red, white, and blue decorations, as I was thinking about those things, it caused me to pause and think about what this means for Christians. You see, the founding fathers of this great nation wanted to experience liberty or freedom on a more personal level. And they hoped to accomplish this or to achieve this by putting a government in place that would base all of its decisions on the majority consent of, guess who? The people, the citizens. They also hoped that the citizens of this great nation would base those decisions, the ones that they were going to base everything on guess what? Guidance from the Creator. Now, found in the Declaration of Independence are these words, and I'm pretty sure you'll recognize them. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, who's the giver of life? The Creator. Who is the true giver of liberty or freedom? The Creator. Now, who's the true giver of happiness? The Bible teaches us about happiness, but really calls it the better word, joy. Unfortunately, what began as a cry for freedom from British aristocracy on a national level, okay, guess what it's turned into? A modern and extremely liberal cry for personal freedom. Now, as a result, our nation is now on a path which seems destined to dismiss and eradicate the belief that God, our Creator, is the author of true freedom. In the meantime, national freedoms that were fought for, earned, right? National freedoms are being cast aside in favor of the pursuit of personal happiness. Now, as your friend and as your pastor, I feel like I need to warn you against the dangers of such a pursuit. Well, the Bible actually tells us to avoid such a pursuit. If we desire personal happiness over the morality of God, then we can only look in the mirror and find the heart of a person not much different than that of Adam and Eve when they chose to rebel against God in the first place. You see, the result of a rebellious choice such as that is why we actually find ourselves and our nation in the situation that we are currently in. I put this in bold, but this is the situation that we're currently in, especially here in the United States. Sin is in, and God is on the way out. Sin is in, and God is on the way out. And as a Christian, it ought to break our hearts. As a citizen of the United States of America, it ought to break our hearts. We've forgotten about life and liberty, and we've put all our focus on that pursuit of happiness. But I don't want to sound doom and gloom. There's hope. Now, is there anything fundamentally wrong with happiness? No. In fact, the Bible speaks of happiness. But God's word actually stands in direct contradiction to the way in which our culture defines happiness. What exists today is the pursuit of temporary happiness. And here's the thing, it's often accomplished, right? Temporary happiness is often accomplished at the expense of others. And it's accomplished outside, most of the time, of God's way. Now, King Solomon, he wrote this book called Ecclesiastes. In that book, he warned us about this very thing. He teaches us that anything that man accomplishes on his own, okay, anything that man accomplishes on his own is vain. He starts the book that way, ends the book that way. If you go to verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 2, and then you go to the end of it in chapter 12, verse 8, you'll find these words from King Solomon, and he says, all is vanity. Well, again, is there anything wrong with thinking that true freedom brings happiness? No. Or that happiness means that one is truly free? Nope. But this selfish belief, okay, this selfish pursuit stands outside of God's way. And guess what? When we're outside of God's way, the path that we end up on is one that leads us to an eternal, I put, discomfort. I didn't want to be overly harsh, but let me tell it to you how it really is. The Bible says if you live your life outside of His way, that on the final day of judgment, that your just punishment for that will be eternal damnation, eternal separation from the Creator. Now, I don't know about you, but that does not sound pleasant. And it sounds a little more harsh than using the word discomfort. So the question that we need to answer this morning is this. If freedom, as we know it, and we've already talked about it, we're spoiled, y'all, in the U.S. But if freedom, as we know it, is quickly eroding, guess what? It is. What can we do? What can we do? Are we to issue our own cry for freedom? Isn't that what our founding fathers did in that Declaration of Independence? Are we to issue our own cry for freedom? After all, crying out for freedom is nothing new. And you can even see it in Paul's writing. Several places, but we're going to look at here in Galatians. So if you will, look with me in chapter 5 of Galatians this morning. And we're just going to read the first 15 verses of that. It should be on the screen. And if you have your Bible or your phone, if you can get your phone to work. Verse 1 says this. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, you know what Paul's saying? Hey, look, pay attention. I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. Verse 5, for through the Spirit by faith we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Verse 7 says, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view than mine, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brothers. I want to read that again, verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Woo, Paul did not mix his words, did he? Now he's speaking to the church at Galatia and the people who attend the church there in Galatia. In other words, he's speaking to who? Christians. And what's going on is some false teachings and some things during that time that I could kind of understand why they would do that, because many of them were Jews, even though many of them were Gentiles, and they were familiar with the Jewish ways and familiar with the Old Testament covenant laws. So he was pretty harsh on them about making sure that they didn't try to mix the two. What were they trying to mix? The Old Testament covenant ways with the ways of Christ. So he was pretty harsh with them. Okay, remember our question. If freedom as we know it is eroding, what can we do? Well, guess what? In Paul's eyes at the church in Galatia, their freedom in Christ was eroding. Why? Because they were not using the doctrine of salvation through Jesus Christ and Him alone as their guide. Okay? So we see in verse 1 that Paul makes a cry for freedom. He says it, right? For freedom, then he says what? Christ has set us free. Now, what's he saying to them? He's saying, hey, you've been set free, but you want to go back and choose to put yourself back into a system of bondage. He uses the word slavery. We don't like to use that word slavery, but guess what? If we belong to Christ, the Bible says we are to be a slave to Christ. In other words, we belong only to Him, and He is to be the master. And that's what Paul is telling the church at Galatia. He's saying, hey, look, you're getting it mixed up. Let me remind you of the truth. The freedom that you've got is there because of Christ, and now you want to take it out of your pocket and give it away. So where is it that our freedom can be found? That's right, Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Himself who frees us. And Paul understood this better than most. This concept of being free in Christ can be found throughout all of Paul's writings. And we don't have time to go find that. He speaks of freedom in Christ a lot. Okay? But here's some other places. Just if you want to jot notes, you can go look it up yourself. But Romans 6, Romans 8, Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 7, 2 Corinthians 5, as well as throughout other places here in the book of Galatians, you'll find Paul speaking about freedom in Christ. Okay? And if you didn't jot those down, guess what? Go to the website, and eventually the notes will be on there, and you can look at the notes and find them, okay? Paul in our text here that we read this morning, he's explaining not just to the Galatians, but to Christians in general, right? What it means, what it truly means to be free in Christ. He lists some things that when we place our faith in Christ, that belief, that faith, that trust, that it frees us from. So look at verses 4. We're not going to read back verses 1 through 4. We're not going to read back through them, but you can scan over them as I talk. But in verse 1, he doesn't just say, hey, freedom, for freedom, Christ has freed us. He goes, and right behind that, he says, stand firm. What are we to stand firm in? Our faith. So Paul's standing before the church, the Christians, there in Galatia, and he's saying what? Hey, you got to stay firm. You got to stay solid. Otherwise, the freedom that you have because of Jesus Christ, guess what? It'll go away. Can I just say the same thing to the Christian here in America? We must stand firm in our faith. Otherwise, the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ, guess what? It'll eventually be taken away. Genuine Christian freedom is experienced only through justification by faith and not through observance of the law. Now, we're not talking about moral laws. We're talking about what? The Old Testament covenant law between God and what? God's chosen nation of Israel. So, Christian freedom is only through justification by faith and not through observance of the law. A better way to say that is just how Paul said it in verse 4. You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law. And then he says this, you have fallen from grace. What Paul's essentially saying is, hey, you have thrown grace out and ushered the law back in. And by doing so, you have cut yourself off from Jesus Christ. Paul wants everyone to know that your right standing with God, in other words, your righteousness with God, your full acceptance by God, only comes through your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. There's no other way. No other way. And I put here, it's not your works either that can accomplish this. There's only one work that can accomplish this. And that work, guess what? Has already taken place. And that was the work of Jesus on the cross, coupled with the grace of God that delivers you from remaining bound in your sin. That's what all that circumcision talk is about, right? Now, I'll admit, it's not fun to read that word and think about that word. So don't think of it in that context. What Paul is teaching there is what it represented. Circumcision represented taking the Old Testament covenant law and believing, okay, that act in itself would align you with God and His ways, and that act in itself would make you a part of His chosen nation. So what the Galatians were doing is they were saying, hey, Christ is not enough. Grace is not enough. We got to go back and we got to continue to practice the old ways because it's not enough. But what's Paul saying? Paul's saying, God said His grace is sufficient. God said the salvation by His grace through His Son is all you need. And that's what he's saying. Paul is stating to the Galatians and to us that what is being taught and what they believe is not true. I'm going to say it this way. Paul is telling the Galatians, be biblical with no exception. Be biblical with no exception. You say, well, they didn't have all the Bible. No, they were still writing it, weren't they? It was still being put in place. So what was Paul telling the Galatians in that day? You be about God. You be about Jesus, His Son, your Savior. And we'll get to this in a minute in verse 5. He says, you be about also His Spirit. that lives inside you. I think it's good advice. I think it's great advice, actually, for today and the world that we live in. There's even churches today, y'all, that are not biblical. They say they are. And it looks harmless. It looks like, hey, you know, if it was good enough then we need to do it now because it's going to help us be better in the eyes of God. That's false teaching. That's what was happening at the church in Galatia. And that's why Paul stood up in a very bold way. He said, guess what? That's hooey. Stop doing it. Do it the way Jesus instructed you to do it. Because his grace and his salvation and his work on the cross is enough. It's enough. Paul teaches us that because of Christ, we are free from sin and we are no longer bound to the laws of the Old Testament covenant. Paul teaches us that living the Christian life and remaining righteous in the eyes of God can only be accomplished through receiving God's grace through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. Now, that's a reminder to the church in Galatia, but to us, of what Paul had said in Galatians 2. And we're going to put that on the screen because I want you to see this. 20 and 21 of Galatians 2. Paul had already taught the church there this, but I want you to look what he says. I have been crucified with Christ. Paul says, hey, if you have given your life, if you've given your heart over to Jesus Christ, guess what? The old you died with him. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but who? Christ who lives in me. And then he says, and the life I now live in the flesh. Why? Because Paul was still here on earth, right? We're still here on earth. He says, and the life that I live now in the flesh, I live by how? By faith in who? The Son of God, Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. It is Christ and him alone where we find God's grace and the gift of salvation. And I've heard many people say this and my whole life, and it seems to be more prevalent today, but they say this all the time, and it's a very true statement. If we really want to save America, we want to keep America free the way it is, then guess what America needs to do? Stop chasing happiness and turn its eyes and its hearts back to who? To God. In verses 1 through 4, Paul lets us know that it is Jesus who frees us from sin. He frees us from the law. He frees us from constantly trying to earn God's favor. And y'all, I really wanted to stop and talk about this for length, but I'm not. But let me just say this. Let me just say this. The work of Jesus Christ on the cross is sufficient. If you're working because you think it's going to make you look better in the eyes of God, then what you've done is you've severed yourself from Jesus Christ. And you're telling God, hey, I appreciate that, but let me do this instead. And that's not what God says. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus and him alone frees us from the curse of dying a spiritual death. Now, I want to ask you a question. Can you this morning confidently say those things about yourself? Can you say, I'm free from sin. I'm free from the law. I'm free from trying to earn God's favor. And I'm free from death. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, then absolutely you can answer that question defiantly with yes. But here's the flip side of that. If he's not your everything, and he's not what you're pursuing, then I question the legitimacy of your answer. Have you yourself put your faith in Jesus and the things that he and only he frees you from? Or are you continuing to put your faith in the lies of Satan, the lies of man, and dare I say it, the lies of a nation that's far from the Creator? Paul says something in verse 5 that is critical to understanding Christian freedom. He says, for through the Spirit. We'll say it again. For through the Spirit. You see, when we accept Jesus and we receive that gift of God's grace, we received an additional gift of God Himself in the form of what? The Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit changes us. The old self is removed. The Holy Spirit turns a cold heart into a warm heart. The Holy Spirit puts new desires in our mind and in our hearts. The Holy Spirit is the one who begins the sanctifying work of our salvation in us. And you remember our series from Sunday night? Eventually, through us. It is then and only then that we become, as Nicodemus had problems understanding, born again. Born again. Because of the Holy Spirit, because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, because of the gracious gift of God, when we put our faith and our trust in that, then we become a brand new person. We become, as the Bible says, an adopted son or daughter of God the Father. Christian freedom means we get to enjoy what we were made for. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, what were we made for? To praise Him, to worship Him. You remember how we started? I said, isn't it good to come to a church and actually enjoy it, right? I mean, it really is. It is good to come to a church, and when we enjoy each other's company, we enjoy worshiping together, we enjoy praising together, guess what? That's what God wants. He made us for that purpose, for that reason, to sit around and do what? Worship Him, praise Him, and oh, by the way, actually like it. Some of y'all, y'all need to work on it. Just saying. Some of it looks like it hurts you just to... Anyway, I'm going to keep moving. Christian freedom means we also get to embrace who it is that we were made to be. If you were made to be a nurse, guess what? God knows that. Embrace it. If you were made to be a doctor, embrace it. If you were made to be a lawyer, embrace it. If you were made to be a preacher, embrace it. If you were made to be a Sunday school teacher, embrace it. If you were made to, I don't know, hold a shovel up with the State Department, embrace it. Ask for two. Whatever you were made to be, when you belong to Jesus Christ, grab a hold of it and embrace that. Because here's the reality of that. In that is where you'll find His purpose for you in your life. Christian freedom means that we get to worship God in Christ through the Spirit. And I said we're spoiled here in the U.S. I think Sue said it. We still get to come here. We still get to do this as often as we want to do this. We still get to, but there's a lot of places in this world that they don't get to do it without the threat of losing their life or the threat of going to prison. But guess what? Most of those people who are truly oppressed have more freedom in the name of Christ than we do. So Christian freedom means that we get to worship God in Christ through the Spirit. And guess what? our circumstance, our situation, and our place in the world really shouldn't matter. I want you to look at that. Christian freedom brings with it true happiness. Or as the Bible correctly refers, joy. I've said this a lot lately, but I can't get it off my mind. I believe it's the Holy Spirit. Y'all tell me, just keep saying it. You've got to embrace your salvation. Live in it. Walk in it. Guess what? And like it. But I don't know why you wouldn't. When you compare it and the life you get in Jesus Christ to the alternative, man, how could you not walk around filled with a joy? There's a lot of other things that we could discuss in this passage. And you're going to say, well, you read all that, but you're going to skip it. Well, I read all of it because I want you to hear it. But I want to encourage you to go study this passage. Because Paul's harsh, but Paul is speaking truth in this passage. Okay? And we could look at a lot of that stuff, but I want to look at one final thing. I want you to jump down to verse 13. Verse 13 says, for you were called to what? Freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom. In other words, you were called to freedom. And when you receive it, what does it say? Don't use the freedom as an opportunity to please the flesh. But through what? Love, serve one another. You see, Paul lets us know that true freedom doesn't come through putting self first. Freedom comes when we serve each other. It is our faith that frees us to follow the words of Christ that we see repeated here by Paul in verse 14. What does he say? For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, which what he means there is one statement, right? And who made that statement? Jesus Christ. And he says, you shall love your what? Neighbor as yourself. That sounds great, don't it? But don't you look at the rest of that. What happens if we don't heed the words of Paul? What does it say? It says that we will, if we ignore this great command, Paul says we will bite and devour and consume one another. Can I just say this? I love where I live. I love my nation. But right now we are head over heels, biting, devouring, and consuming one another. Because all we want to do is please self. Sin is on the way in, and God is on the way out. It is our faith that frees us to follow those words. Look at what happens when we ignore that. What sounds better, y'all? Love and serve, or bite, devour, and consume? I guess it's the condition of one's heart that determines how one will answer that question. Christian freedom means freedom together. We are better together. We are stronger together. In Christ, we are free to love others as Christ loves others. In Christ, we are free to serve others as Christ serves others. In Christ, we are free to bless others as Christ blesses others. In Christ, we are free from sin. In Christ, we are free from spiritual death. In Christ, we are free to one day stand before God as rescued, redeemed, and sanctified. In Christ, and in Christ alone, are we free. In Christ and in Christ alone are we free. Now, I'm going to close by saying this. And I'm going to sound like I'm repeating myself a little bit. But I do. I love living in Walhalla, South Carolina. Walhalla, South Carolina is part of the great state of South Carolina, which is part of the great nation of the United States. And I love every bit of it. I do. But what it has done is it's made me lazy. What it has done has made me forget many times where my allegiance truly should be. And that is with my Creator, to my Savior, Jesus Christ. So I just want to say this. I think Paul's words, even though he was speaking to a church 1800 years ago in Galatia, hold very, very true for us here in the United States today. When he says, hey, stop trying to mix. Stop trying to mix it and mingle it. Right? Get rid of all the stuff that's not of God. And worry about the stuff that is of God. And guess what? You'll be free. You'll be free. So what I thought we would do this morning, because we, you know, the internet's down, we, you know, music, all that stuff. We don't have all that stuff, right? What I thought we would do this morning, and I'm going to ask you to do this, and I know this is a little uncomfortable, but I want to ask you to come to this altar, and I want us to pray together for our nation. Pray that our nation will get rid of the junk and turn its heart and its eyes back to who? To God, to our Creator. Because after all, is He not the one that blessed us in such a way? Absolutely. And is He not the one that I believe is a little bit disappointed in what we've done with this great blessing?